Friends, if it wasn't well with my soul, I couldn't stand up here tonight and start to give a word of testimony. But I'm glad that it's well with my soul. What about yours? That's the key question, my friends. Now I'd like you please to turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 16. And we're going to read from verse 29. Acts chapter 16 and verse 29. And here it speaks of Paul and Silas, and they're put into prison after having done a great work for the Lord. And they even were lashed and beaten badly. What an awful shame. But let's turn, we will, to the verse 29. And here, this speaks of the Philippian jailer. And he says, "Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe on your church, on your good works, being a brave creature.'" My friends, not at all. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." That is the people that dwelt within their home, their family. "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeants, saying, 'Let those men go.'" Amen. And we thank God for the simplicity of his precious word. There are a few verses I just want to bring to your attention. It's not necessary for you to turn them up, but this is just in reference to my testimony. One verse, or two verses in Psalm 103 says, "Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." And then there's another wee reference here. I have it marked, if I can catch a hold of the marker. There we are. And that verse, my friends, is found in Genesis 31 and 13. "I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest a pillar, the pillar, and where thou vowedest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred." Amen. Just let's have a moment of prayer, because it's a very serious thing to stand up and speak, giving God the glory. I realize that I feel very much in awe of God that I've been privileged to do this. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank and praise thee, dear Lord, that we have a testimony to give to thy saving and to thy keeping power. We thank thee, our Heavenly Father, for that wonderful day, Lord, when Jesus came into my life. And Lord, I thank you, our Father, that I passed from death unto life spiritually. And I thank you, Lord, for redeeming me, Lord, for shedding thy precious blood for all my sins. And our Father, I thank you, Lord, for the great joy that it is, Lord, to serve thee. And Father, I pray, Lord, as I give my testimony tonight, Lord, that, Father, it would be a blessing to everyone, Lord, even myself as well, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'll shut us in now with thyself. And, Lord, do us good, for we're looking unto thee, not looking to ourselves, Lord. You know how we feel inwardly, Lord. We even feel a bit shaky tonight, Lord, about it. But, O God, our Father, we thank thee. We're so grateful, Lord, to be saved and to know, Lord, that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, help us, Father. We ask of thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I know, my dear friends, that there are many here tonight who have heard my testimony maybe more than once. But I also understand that there are others here who might never have heard it before. And so, for those of you who have heard it, I pray that God will give you grace to hold on till I get it finished. And at the end of it all, you will go home saying it was good for us to have been here. For it was here we have met afresh with the Lord. My dear friends, like most people, I was brought up to go to Sunday school from my earliest days. I attended the Mourne Presbyterian Church in Kilkeel. My family were all Presbyterians. And my mother, though she wasn't saved, she was left with five boys. The first one died, that was a sixth. But the first one died at birth. And thank the Lord, my mother sent us out faithfully, six boys and one girl, or five boys and one girl, to Sunday school regularly. We were brought up in those days whenever you had to have the shoes cleaned and set up on the Saturday and the spuds all ready for Sunday dinner on the Saturday. And my mother was a bit of a stickler when it come to Sunday. Though she wasn't saved, my mother was a woman of good works. And she depended on her good works to get her to heaven. But she was leaning on a broken stick because good works cannot get anybody into heaven. But she was a good mother. On the other hand, too, she was a tough taskmaster. Because many a time I got the brush across my back. In some cases it deserved it, in other cases it didn't. But however, you know, dear friends, I thank God my dad is in heaven. He died in 1945. My mother was only 36 years of age, left with a big family to rear. We were reared on a farm. And I remember one night my mother said, "Sam, go out and see that sow there. See if it's all right." And I went out. And I was only a wee fella at the time. And I put my head in the sow's neck. And I woke up and there was a wee pig running across my face. So you know what farming's like. But we had to work hard as children. You had to really graft, gathering spuds. I remember tramping flax into the flax mill, the flax dam rather. I wouldn't have tramped it into the mill, I would have went in with it. But I tramped the flax into the flax dam. And we really did have to work hard. My mother was a great worker. She could have done the work of three men. She was a real hard worker. But you know, friends, I grew up, went to the local school, the primary school, the intermediate school. And with my father was a mason whenever he was alive. And because my dad had died, my sister went to the boarding school in Dublin first, the Masonic school, and then I was sent next, and then two other brothers were sent next. But I didn't like boarding school at all. In fact, to tell you the truth, I hated it. And the first day that I went into the school, I went up the wrong way to what I thought was the dormitory area. There was two rows. There was one going that, one going the other way. There's a bunch of confusion. You come to Christ, there's no confusion, for he's the door, he's the only way. Only one way to get to heaven, Jesus said, "I am the way." But I was going up this path, this big concrete marble steps, and this big, big man came down the steps. He looks at me, he says, "Where do you think you're going?" he says. And I was only about 11 and a half. The man scared the life out of me. So you can understand why I would have rather just run and got home. But anyway, while I was at that boarding school, I wasn't very good at algebra. I was brave and good at English, but I was about the height of it. But I was not good at algebra, and I hadn't a clue how to do algebra. But the man that was teaching us algebra, he was so stupid he couldn't teach me at all. That sounds rather strange, doesn't it? But I could not grasp how to do algebra. And he thought I was been thick and stubborn. And what he did was, he sent me to the headmaster. And I had my pajamas on, I was ready to get into my bed, and I had to go and see the headmaster. And the headmaster, he gave me 12 whacks across my bare bottom as hard as he could pull with a big brute of a cane. And it was 2 weeks and I couldn't sit on a seat. I was sitting, if you can imagine me sitting, I was sitting on the edge in one hip. I couldn't move for 2 weeks. Nowadays he'd been taken up for cruelty. I was going to say cruelty to animals. But I'll tell you this, he was cruel to me. And I want to tell you, it took me a long while after that to have the grace to forgive him. But that turned me from being a good wee critter and a very kind critter to being, I'm telling you, nobody ever tell me what to do again. But my friends, I left the boarding school, and before I left, I got my second youngest brother, Albert, up, and I says, Albert, come on here quick. And it was bucketing. It was raining like mud. And he says, where are you going now? He says, come on with me. And I went and I got this scooter. The man that owned it, he called it a scooter. And I says, Albert, give me a bit of a push here. And we got onto the scooter, and we headed. He says, what are you going to do? He says, I jump on, you'll soon find out. And we headed away down to a big hollow of a field, and it was covered with water. Just a big hollow like that where you're sitting down in there, is it? And it was covered with water, higher than you are. Maybe even higher if you stood up, it might be higher. But there was a brave lot of water there. And I took the scooter, and I just fired it into the water. And all you could see was bubbles. Well, do you know what I'm going to tell you? I really enjoyed that. I was thrilled about that. But I want to tell you, don't you ever do that. Because I wouldn't recommend for any mortal man to do that. For you see, that's wrong. That's sin. But I wanted to get my own back. And of course, it satisfied me that day and was brave and happy. And I headed back home whenever I got left the school. However, as time went on, I started to work, and sadly on one occasion I committed a misdemeanor. But you know, dear friends, I felt so guilty about it, I headed off to England, and I started to work there in the rag and bone trade, as they call it, the drapery business. That's why I'm looking so smart tonight, at almost 72. You'd hardly believe that, bro, I'd be 72 on February 14th. 72 and I only look like 45, not right? But do you know, friends, I worked there, and then I started to think very deeply about my mother, and I wanted to come home to see my mommy. I got a transfer from the place that I was in, Austin Reeds, they called them, back to Ulster. And then I got another job in the same line of business, and was a manager of a shop in Coleraine. And then, while I was there one day, this customer came in, and he said to my young assistant, he says, have you any idea where I could get a good singer, he says. Well, the young fellow says, that man there sings. So I linked up with this fella and their group, and it was called the Kentucky Four, not fried chicken, the Kentucky Four. And they had brought out a record, and it was called The Bridge. That's a lovely bridge you got there. I wonder what to call it. Something like that. And I had to go all around the country singing with them because their lead singer fell out. And then I took his place. However, that passed. And then I moved on to Ballymena, still in the drapery business. And I met up with this other fella, and he was a tremendous guitarist. And he and I started to go around the bars and clubs singing silly old songs for the devil. However, I wasn't saved, and I was a wild character. Mind you, I've simmered a lot since that, brother, haven't I? But you know, dear friends, whenever that dear brother and I got together, we were in a particular place in Brasheen. It's called the Thatch. And when we were there playing, there was a crowd of women come in, and there was one at the end come in, and I stopped. I says, "Oh, hello, my darling, my dear, how are you doing?" I had an eye for her, I fancied her. And of course, I finished up at the end of it all. I found out where she lived. And we hitched up. She had organized a holiday in Palermo in Sicily, and she went away for 3 weeks. And I wasn't one for writing letters to anybody, I can tell you. But I must have been in love, for I never wrote as many letters in all my life. It was serious. Some of you are probably saying, "Did you not catch yourself on?" Well, you know, friends, whenever she came back after a 3 week holiday, 2 months later we got engaged. And then 2 months later we got married. And God bless us with 2 sons, Alan and Grant. Both my sons got saved as young boys, and I thank God for that. The one is backslidden, unfortunately, and I want you to pray for him that the Lord will be near him. He professed to come back to the Lord, but there's no point in professing to come back to the Lord if you don't walk with the Lord. There's a special responsibility on us as Christians that we're supposed to walk with the Lord. By their fruits shall you know them. And so I want you to pray. He's the best of a fellow. He's a good creator. Very handsome big fellow like myself. But I want you to pray for him. Anyway, dear friends, while we were living in Ballymena, in the famous village of Harryville, there was this man came along, and he was giving out gospel tracts. He was from the gospel hall. A man by the name of John Thompson.
But you remind me every time I see him. You remind me of him. He's your brother too, even though he was the brother.
But we are the brethren anyway. And you know, dear friends, he was a very faithful man, for he came faithfully to visit us. And my wife knew she needed to be saved from such a young girl. But my friends, I had no idea whatsoever what was meant by being saved. I hadn't a clue. Even though I was brought up in the Presbyterian Church on learning the King James Scriptures, Rhyming them off. But you know, friends, I thank God that I did rhyme them off. Because God buried that word in my heart. And our brother, anyway, and my dear wife, they started to speak to me about getting saved. And I looked at my wife. I says, "What do you mean by this old saved business, woman?" I says, "Sure, when I die, am I not like a fly? No, I'm only bits and pieces." And she went on to explain that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. And I says, "I didn't ask him to do that." And she says, "Ah, but Sam, he's done it." And so, my friends, thank God the Holy Spirit of God started to work in my heart. And I got more and more convicted about my sin. Betty got saved on the 14th of February, 1970. And thank God, on the 23rd of February, 1970, my dear wife Betty pointed me to the Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, the night that I got saved, I want to tell you, I cried and cried like a baby. I was so broken. I was so sad that it was my sins that put the Lord on the cross. And I was really in a great state of repentance. And thank God, the Lord had mercy on me. And he saved me by his grace. And what a change in my life, for you can get the picture. There's a man, and he's going round all the pubs, and
He's in the old gambling dens. And this man, people were saying his big psalms turned good living. And anybody that said it to me, oh no, I haven't turned good living. I says, I've got saved. And then I started to explain to them how to be saved. You see, my friends, to be saved means you're on your way to heaven. To not be saved, it means you're on your way to hell. I can't tell you if I'll take another breath. Nor neither can you. And my friend, if you're not saved tonight, I would plead with you earnestly before God to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved too. Because it is a tremendous life to be saved. You have your ups and downs. You have your valleys and your mountains. Experiences and so on. But friends, let me tell you this. It's a wonderful thing to be saved. Well, whenever I got saved, in the meantime, I left the drapery business and I went and learned the welding trade. Big difference. I was putting metal together. Now I'm helping to put souls together. And you know, friends, whenever I was in that coach building firm, right, so coach builders in Ballymena, I want to tell you, friends, I got so burdened about souls needing to be saved that I used to cry a lot. And I used to run after people with tracts and the tears falling down my face for their souls. My friend, may God give us the tears again. May we start and cry seriously and earnestly for sinners that aren't saved. I have members of my family circle, brothers and a sister, and nephews and nieces and grandchildren, and they're not saved. And if any one of them die outside of Christ, if they're not saved, they'll go to hell. It's a very solemn matter, and it's something that shouldn't be treated lightly. And so, my friends, I would urge you to consider seriously your latter end. You know, my friends, I went to the World Congress of Fundamentalists, the first World Congress of Fundamentalists in Edinburgh. And it was there while a man by the name of Pastor Roy Thompson from Cleveland, Ohio, he was speaking about the cults, those going about preaching another gospel, not the true gospel, the Mormons, the Jehovah Witnesses. Somebody called them the Jehovah's Sicknesses and the morons. They were preaching another gospel of no message for the people. And as our brother was preaching, I started to cry again. You see, God was calling me to give my life over in full surrender for full-time service. And my friends, at the 79 Easter Convention, Dr. Paisley, who's with the Lord, he appealed for students to be trained at the Whitfield College of the Bible. Several went forward and I delayed. But a little later, I applied to the Whitfield College of the Bible and was accepted as a trainee student in 1979. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2 and 15, study to show thyself approved unto God. I want to stop there. Study to show thyself approved unto God. We don't study to show ourselves approved unto men. But if you study and show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, God will bless you. And so, my dear friends, I thank God I graduated from the college and I started to work as the invitations went out among many of our Free Presbyterian churches. There were some people who got saved, and thank God for that. I remember a man, he was an alcoholic in Ballymena, and he was a pigeon fancier. But that man cried his way to Calvary in his own house, and I believe to this day he's gone on great for the Lord. And that was away around the early 80s. But you know, there were some people that made professions, but there was nothing to it. And I would venture to say that perhaps they just wanted to get rid of me, to get me out of the road. But whatever the reason was, they never came through for God. And you know, if a person makes a false profession and there's no fruit after it, if there's no proof after it,
then I doubt that person's salvation. Anyway, in 1986, and I'm keeping the choir close, I and this clock here, in 1986, Dr. Myron Gaylor from the Marietta Bible Center Church invited the Reverend Baxter. God love the Reverend Baxter. Pray for him, as I'm sure the people know, bro, he got his leg badly hurt, broken in two places and steel pinning. Pray for a brother that the Lord put his good hand of healing upon him and restore him and get him back to good health and strength. But our brother's family and my family were invited out to go and preach and sing, and there was arranged for us 35 meetings. And we had a great time going all around the country there singing and preaching for the Lord and testifying. It was while we were there that the Reverend Frank McClellan from our Toronto Free Church was invited down by Dr. Gaylor to speak at a special meeting during that time. And our brother and I had a conversation, and he said that we could be doing with someone like you over in Canada, he says, to help us out there. And he said, would you be willing to go? I said, well, I would surely. If the Lord wanted me to go, I'd be willing surely. So we both agreed that we'd pray about it. And 2 months later, I received a telephone call from our Toronto Free Church to go out and sing at their 10th anniversary services. The Reverend McClellan and I had a bit of a chat again. And then the next thing was that after we had sought the Lord through his word and got guidance, God had put it on our hearts to go to Canada, and we got the official call on the 20th of April, 87. I went over there as minister of visitation, and we visited many people. I had met very many interesting people, including the Prime Minister, Brian Mulroney, and with a good opportunity to speak to him of his need to be saved, as well as representatives of, and generals of the Israeli and Canadian governments. And on one occasion, I met this man and woman who, when I knocked the door, they came to the door, and this man said to me, he says, could you tell, I explained who I was, you see, it was the representing the Lord and giving out gospel tracts and invitations to our church. And he says, tell me this, he says, could you tell me how to get to heaven? And I just simply told him that you have to repent of your sin. Realize you're a sinner and repent of your sin and ask the Lord Jesus Christ, who paid the debt of your sin, and ask him to save you and forgive you. And that wee man said, he says, thank you very much. He says, God sent you. So that wee man and that wee woman, God did save the two of them. And on a second visit back, they said to me, Brother Sam, we want to wash your feet. Wasn't that a strange one? We want to wash your feet. Well, to tell you the truth, my first immediate thought was, sure, my feet aren't dirty. But you know, friends, it was a compliment the dear creators were paying me, because the Lord Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. And friends, it was a very humbling experience. I went in and put my 2 feet in that dish they had set out. And the two of them got down their knees and they started to wash my feet. And my friends, I thought, what an honor that anybody would do that. You know, it brought me closer to the dear Lord. And it still does. You know, my friends, after some time in Toronto, there was a difference of opinion between I and some of our brethren there. And what family, my friends, doesn't have a difference of opinion? And if you have a difference of opinion, it doesn't mean you run out and leave them. Though I resigned, I never left the work of God. I'm still in the work of God, and I'm still singing, and I'm still preaching, and I'm still praying, and I'm still praising the Lord. And so if there's a difference among you, sort it out among yourselves. And still love one another through it all. For that's very, very important. The devil wants to rack and tear, but God wants to heal divisions. And so, my friend, while I was there during that time, my heart started to give me bother. I had to have 2 stents put in the main arteries of my heart. And I got very depressed. But you know, dear friends, I was deeply hurt by one person in particular. And I was so hurt, my friends, that I could have kicked the floor in the kitchen. I got so angry. But my friends, I want to tell you, dear brother, and the Lord said to me, he said, Sam, he says, how do you expect God to forgive you if you can't forgive him? What did that man do? That man pointed me back to the Lord Jesus Christ that died on the cross for all my rotten sin. My friends, God broke my heart. And I cried and I said, Lord, thank you, Lord. I forgive. And God gave me the ability to forgive. And I prayed that God would save that man, and God saved him. And the last time I was visiting, he rolled out the red carpet for me and treated me very honorably. Oh, it's so easy, my friends, to get angry. God says, be ye angry and sin not. Well, my friends, here I am back in Ulster again. The Lord has kept me going for over 20 years on tablets. Yes, on tablets. Thank God for the tablets. Thank God for the physicians. And some people will try to tell you you don't need a doctor. I never heard such old stupid nonsense. I want to tell you, I thank God for my doctrine as well as that he's saved. Hallelujah. He's redeemed. And we have great fellowship. My friends, I want to say tonight that it's good to share my testimony with you. It's good for us to bear one another's burdens, and that's very important. You see, when I come back from Canada, in my heart, I come off the plane in a wheelchair, and I really actually thought for a while I was going to die. And there was one man and his wife in particular. And my friends, they befriended my wife and I. And ever since it, they're regular friends in our home and we're in theirs. And they, as it were, put their arms around us. And they shared and bore our burdens. And oh, my friend, I've already been asked to sing at the man's funeral. For he's an elderly man. Oh, my friends, above all that, I want to say to you, the key to God's work thriving and going on, as if you didn't know it, I'm sure you do, but I'm sure you know what I'm going to say. The key to it all is prayer. And I would love to see our churches filled with everybody that's saved getting into the prayer meeting. And not only the general weekly prayer meeting, but get into the wee prayer meeting in the wee room, and if that doesn't hold all the people, you can come out into a bigger room. Sure, you're building bigger buildings out there. Man, wouldn't it be great to see the places filled with prayer? Because God says prayer changeth things. So how are we going to see the work of God advance? And God will advance the work, for God says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so may the Lord, my friends, help us to press on for him. Thank you, my dear friends. My mother got saved, as I was telling you. My late brother Dick, who died as he was trying to shake out a bit of silage out of the trailer. The whole thing came down on top of him, and he took a massive coronary. But the week before it, friends, I had the joy of pointing him to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, Sam, he says, I didn't think you were as good a man as that. I says, Dick, I says, it wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit of God that spoke to him, and my brother Dick got saved. And now he's in heaven with my mother and my father. And friends, I'm going to be there. What about yourself? I leave that with you. Because you see, we can't create an anxious thought. And you know, I must be surely going to get an extra bun tonight. Because, brother, I've cut the time down by a minute or two. Not wonderful. That's a miracle, you see. Amen. Thank you so much for listening. And God bless you. Thank you.